morning, everyone. It's Pastor Jeremiah here, and I just want to welcome you to our special Christmas Eve Candlelight Service online edition. Thanks for taking the time to tune in, and hopefully you're having a very Merry Christmas as you build up to the big day tomorrow morning. And I don't know, I know some families, they celebrate and open up presents on Christmas Eve. Growing up, for me, it was more of a Christmas morning kind of a thing. So maybe you're a Christmas Eve person, maybe you're a Christmas morning person. I don't know which, but I hope, however, it's turning out well for you. And we just are so grateful to have you join us for this evening's service online as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And one thing that you want to have available at the end of my message, we're going to sing Silent Night together. And you'll want to have a candle ready and lit and ready for song that we sing at the end to candlelight. And even though we may not be in the same room together, we just want to join our hearts together and celebrate the birth of Jesus with this traditional candlelight service. And so thanks for tuning in. I'm going to jump right into just a short message, just a short inspirational message as we contemplate the meaning of this amazing, amazing day and what it signifies for us. I know for me growing up, Christmas was always a magical time of the year. It was something else to think that on this day, the 25th of December, that everybody that I know was sending gifts to our house. I mean, everybody that was meaningful in my life, my aunts, my uncles, both sets of grandparents, even family friends were giving us gifts that we got to open up. And I just thought that was just the best thing possible. I mean, what kid wouldn't want to open up just a bunch of gifts? That was truly a Christmas miracle. But my parents kept things really simple for our Christmas traditions. They didn't want to lean so much into the story of Santa and the North Pole. They wanted to emphasize the birth of Jesus. They were both Christians, newly placed their faith in Jesus Christ at that point in time in their lives. And so they wanted to emphasize the birth of Jesus, keep that front and center. In fact, they were so keen on that fact that my aunt one year sent us these very beautiful Christmas decorations for our tree, Christmas ornaments, tree ornaments. And she sent us these homemade, you know, really intricately made ornaments of Santa and Mrs. Claus. And my parents informed us that while they didn't want to just discard those ornaments out of respect for my aunt, who took so much time, obviously, to create them, they had to live on the back of the tree because they didn't want to emphasize the Santa story. They wanted to emphasize Jesus and his birth. And so in the end, you know, we put the Santa ornaments on the back of the tree, and we had a lot of fun with it. It was something we laughed about every year. And even on into adulthood, all the kids in my family, we laugh at Santa and Mrs. Claus having to live on the back of the tree. Sadly, as kids, we never received any gifts from Santa. We didn't get any coal, but we didn't get any gifts from Santa. And I always resented that as a kid. And so when Deborah, my wife, and I were raising our four kids, we definitely leaned into the Santa part of the story. We left out milk and cookies. We even left carrots, snacks for Santa's famished and exhausted reindeer. And wouldn't you know it, there was always a gift from Santa under the tree for each of our kids. And one thing I've always been grateful for, as I look back on, you know, how I was raised versus how my kids were raised, one thing I was always grateful for is the seriousness with which my parents told us the story of Christmas, the seriousness of which we heard about the announcement of the angel Gabriel to Mary, and about the census that was to be taken in the Roman world. And that was why Mary and Joseph had to travel all that way, 75 miles to Bethlehem. We wondered at this idea of Mary giving birth to baby Jesus in a stable amongst farm animals. My dad, he used to always read the story of Christmas from either Matthew or Luke, and he would alternate between both because Matthew's version, of course, has the story of the Magi, the wise men who come and give gifts to Jesus, and then Luke's version has the story of the shepherds, who are the unlikely visitors to the birthplace of Jesus in the story. And here's how my dad would read it. He would read it slow and methodical. And he would do that on purpose just because we were all antsy and ready to open up our gifts. And he would just kind of lay the story out there in a very slow and deliberate way and kind of build up the anticipation for what it was that we were about to experience. And so the favorite for me was always Luke chapter 2. And I'll read that for you this evening. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, my dad used to read it like this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. And then he would stop. And then he would say, now let's look up who Quirinius, the governor of Syria, was in my footnotes. And he had a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and he would dig through that and look up the commentaries. And we're like, Dad, just get on with the story. And it was one of those kind of moments. And so he would read on, you know. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there's no room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And here's what I've come to learn as I've grown into adulthood and as a pastor, certainly for the past 20 years. The details of this story matter more than what we may initially realize. We don't ever want to confuse this story, this Christmas story, with the other stories that we tell around this time of the year. Because the seriousness of this birth story has major implications in our lives. And the truth of the matter is this: if there is no angelic announcement to Mary, then there is no virgin birth. And if there's no virgin birth, there is no Son of God. And if there is no Son of God, there is no Savior. And if there's no Savior, there is no thrill of hope, there's no joy to the world, and there's no peace on earth. This Christmas story is the foundation for the salvation story. And that's a story that has major implications for all of our lives. And we may no longer give serious consideration to some of the various elements of this Christmas story. We may feel as though, well, that's not important, or that's not important. I don't need to accept that, or I don't need to lean in here or pay attention to this. But they have immense implications for how you and I see the world, how we live in the world, how we understand the meaning and the purpose of our lives in the world. The Christian faith, unfortunately, is not something that you could just piecemeal together. We don't get to take the bits and pieces that we like and leave out the rest, or leave out the parts that stretch our faith, or leave out the parts or ignore the parts that we find confusing or uncomfortable. And that's why I love this story, because this story forces us to face so many of those uncomfortable, faith-stretching ideas, right? The idea of a virgin birth and an immaculate conception, the idea of angels coming and giving announcement to shepherds, or a star that prophetically predicts the birth of Jesus. I mean, all these things, they just mess with our minds and our analytical side. We're forced to confront the fact that we can't access the salvation that God has come to bring us without exercising faith. Jesus described himself in Matthew 21 as the stone that would cause people to stumble. He predicted that it would cause us to stumble, that it would cause us to doubt, it would cause us to scratch our heads and say, do I really believe that? It's hard to accept these things. It's hard to accept angelic appearances, virgin birth, and prophetic stars. But Jesus would say, don't let the hard truths about me trip you up. Here's how John tells the story. In John 1, verse 9, he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John would say earlier in his first chapter, in him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of mankind. Here's what I and so many others have discovered, that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, everything else in your life lights up as a result of that expression of faith. He comes into the world, and all that you and I have to do is receive him. Receive this gift that God has so graciously given each and every one of us. And one of the things that's so powerful about the Christmas season is it's a wonderful reminder to each and every one of us to simply receive the gift of life that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Place our faith in him, believe in him, and receive him into our lives. And so we place our faith in Jesus, and we let his light light up our lives. And that's one of the beautiful things that this candlelight service signifies. It signifies that spark of faith, if you will, that you and I afford ourselves when we confront this very difficult story and we say, Jesus, I believe. I believe that you have come into this world. I believe that you have made a way for my salvation. I believe that you are the light of the world. And when that light lights up in my heart, that's when life comes. That's when I come fully alive. And so as we light these candles this evening, I want you to consider that. That as that candle is a light with flame, it's a symbol signifying the faith you have placed in Jesus Christ, and it's symbolizing So if you would, grab the candle that you had prepared for this evening, and I'm going to light my candle. And then I want to invite you to sing with me a cappella, just the first verse of Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Heavenly Father, we just are so grateful for the gift that you've given us of your Son, Jesus Christ. And in this Christmas season, once again, we place our faith in him. We receive him into our hearts and our lives. And we pray that you would light us up, that you would give us that gift of life that you have promised so many years ago. We thank you for the light of Christmas. We thank you for the life of Jesus. Receive it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you and whatever family and friends you are celebrating with. I just pray that you have a wonderful evening, that the light of Jesus and the life that he brings would animate everything that you experience this Christmas season. Blessings to you, and hope to see you again in the new year. God bless everybody.